Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Still with me here in studio are Fianna Fáil Minister of State James Brown, Éanna Reardon of the Labour Party and Social Democrats TD Jennifer Whitmore. Now, 3 years on from the outbreak of COVID-19 that saw an overnight mass movement out of offices and into the new world of remote working, the new work-life balance bill is finally due to be signed into law in the coming weeks. I'm joined by Éirc McGibney, Director of Public and International Affairs at the Dublin Chamber. Éirc, I know that you have broadly welcomed this legislation that is coming, but is there enough clarity still about the rights of everyone on this, the rights of the employee to seek remote working and the rights of the employer to say no?
Well, most employers would welcome the bill, so that's fine, but the devil is going to be in the detail in how this applies. So we're still waiting on a sort of a code of practice from the WRC, from the Workplace Relations Commission, which will come in and try and, you know, give a code of practice about how companies are supposed to apply this law. And the real challenge is that, as you say, for the last 3 years, companies have been providing for remote working. And now, particularly in the last year, we can see a trend towards hybrid working. So the balance, I think, for most companies is going to be a future where you have some days in the office and some days at home. And that's because of things like teamwork, because of culture, because of innovation. So the real challenge is going to be how, you know, you have one set of guidelines that applies for every company circumstance. Remember, lots of companies invested heavily in how they go about their work. So, you know, if what you do, if I come in on a Monday, you want to come in on a Tuesday, someone else wants to come in on a Wednesday, how are we going to have a team meeting? So they have to have some, you know, regard for how companies are already putting things into place. So that's going to be a very tricky guide to balance. And I think also a lot of individual circumstances. So there's a lot of concern amongst employers about this being seen as a panacea, you know, something that's going to solve everything for everybody. So, for example, in rural Ireland, there's a view that, yes, look, we can all live remote working. We don't have to live near a city. We don't have to live near anywhere. But, of course, if the job is fully remote and can be done in Leitrim, it can be done in Lisbon, it can be done somewhere else. So that needs to be borne in mind. And I think from an employee point of view, remembering it's a right to request remote working and not a guarantee of remote working or hybrid working, it's that individual circumstance of people. So, for example, one company has faced a circumstance where somebody said, look, I bought a dog, I should be allowed to work remote work. The other person just had a baby. Now, how are you going to arbitrate between that? That is a very, very challenging, you know.
Well, for many people, their dog is their baby. For that. But Éirc, obviously a major tech multinational is very different to a manufacturer to somebody who is running a creche. Is the code of practice that's yet to sort of be fully determined, will it give that constructive ambiguity or the flexibility to capture all of the different needs and requirements of the employers and the employees? Because you remember very, very quickly overnight they were able to make us work from home when they needed to.
Yeah, so look, all I'm saying is the WRC has a very difficult job, and I imagine that, you know, as they get more experience, as sort of cases come up, they might need to review it. But it will be a difficult job, and it probably will need to be reviewed. You know, where the WRC, you know, we've asked that if there's going to be guidance where it's going to be prescriptive, it'd be very prescriptive. And where it needs to put in flexibility, it needs to be very flexible. Remember, companies have, under the legislation, a very short amount of time, a month or two, to apply a request to remote working or to introduce hybrid work for a person. And, you know, they need as much, and that involves, you know, if you look to the kind of protocols that companies are already doing, health and safety check on a person's place of work. Are they going, you know, in their home? Are they working from their desk in a box room? Are they working from the kitchen table? And there's lots of other issues yet to be ironed out in terms of
and
remote
issues,
work.
And issues including, Éirc, the suspicion that it's pension funds and property investors who need us back in city centres. Other than that, given that, thankfully, we are now, we hope, out of that critical and acute phase of the pandemic, is it too late? Because a lot of people are already back in the office by desire or by design. Is this legislation too late for those who really wanted to capture that potential during the pandemic for a working for home revolution?
Well, it's not pension funds that are making me say that, you know, that the future is hybrid. Cities have been around for a long time. Companies set up around cities. I mean, enterprise policies around clustering. People want to be near universities, near airports and things like that. So that position remains. Is it too late? Well, I think we've yet to still learn where things will actually land in terms of the future of work. So we're on a journey, and I think it's going to be how we evolve that journey. I think we're learning. Like I've offered to come into the studio because I think people like to be in the studio. You have your other guests in the studio, because you want a face-to-face interaction. You want, those kind of things are hard to recapture by electronic means. So I think where this will actually land is going to be very tricky to guess. My guess is certainly a form of hybrid working. At the moment, our surveys are showing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the office, Monday, Friday, much less so.
And that many employees thinking Mondays and Fridays for their preferred choice of days. Eric McGivney from Dublin Chamber, many thanks. I'll let you go, but Jennifer Whitmore, the potential that was held out during the otherwise hugely depressing course of the pandemic was for this, I suppose, a rebalancing perhaps of the rights between workers and employers. And look, I mean, workers responded well with their flexibility. Is that now that opportunity being taken away from them?
No.
Is this too little, too late?
No, I don't think so. Look, I will welcome this bill coming into play. It's really important. But I still think we are still on a journey, and there's still a lot of discussions that have to happen. As we heard earlier, that those discussions between employers and getting that balance right. And it will be different for each company. It'll be different for each industry. But it is really important that we do get it right. I mean, I've spoken... I'm a TD for Wicklow, and I've spoken to constituents who say that they don't live in Wicklow, they sleep there. So because before the pandemic, all they were doing was travelling in and out. So it's really important that people get that balance right, and what's good for employees will be good for employers as well.
It's really complicated, Eoghan Reardon, because we've had the curse of presenteeism, but also particularly for women, the fear of a bias if it's them that avail mostly actually perhaps of the working for home or remote working. It's a tricky balance to get.
It is, and we would have felt that maybe their right request is not as strong as it could be. But look, we do in general welcome the bill in the week to have as well, but there's one element of it which we were disappointed about, is 5-day leave for domestic violence. We felt that should have been at least 10. I know it's going into a review and we still don't know what the rate of pay is going to be.
Pioneering enough, however, that yes, we are introducing
it. Is, and I think Linda O'Sullivan from Forsa deserves great credit for that, but certainly we would have preferred it to be 10. But within all this, we are on a journey. We do want to make sure that individual workers have protections when they work from home as well, and that they also have a right to switch off, which is a key part of this.
Final quick word just to Minister James Brown. Too little, too late, or do you think that this is something that will benefit both employers and employees in the future?
No, I think this is a very important piece of legislation from Minister Roderick O'Gorman that does strengthen workers' rights, I think, in a number of very key areas. So, no, I think it very much is timely. Guidance will have to be, I suppose, met for different circumstances, but the key rights are in there mostly, will help to protect women workers in particular. And while I know there's a difference of opinion on the 5 days for domestic violence, I think just having that introduction there is hugely important, and to see there, and we'll see how that works and helps people in the long term.
That's great. And listen, I'm really, really sorry, because that's all we have time for today. My thanks to the panel here in studio, to you for listening.